Okay. All right, let's grab our Bibles this morning, and we'll get right to our message. Good songs. Open your Bibles this morning to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Praise the Lord. I love the book of Judges. It's such an action book. See, the Lord, there's a lot of miracles in the book of Judges. The Lord is really working in a mighty way on behalf of His people Israel here. Surrounded by enemies, it seems, in every chapter. It's approximately 1400 years B.C. in chapter 6. Moses and Joshua are both dead and gone to be with the Lord. We're in the days of the judges, where every man did that which was right in his own sight. And what they needed was godly leadership. Amen? They needed leadership, but for about 440 years, the children of Israel had no king. What would happen is the children of Israel would rebel against the Lord, and He would bring an enemy upon them, and then they would cry out to the Lord and seek His forgiveness, and they'd repent, and the Lord would restore them. He'd raise up a judge to bring them back to Himself and to defeat the enemies that were physically attacking them. So it's an incredible picture in the book of Judges of the Christian life. We get attacked, don't we? We have enemies, not physical, but spiritual enemies. And we need to cry out to the Lord as they did and stand by Him. Glory to God for deliverance. Look with me here in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to talk about a man named Gideon this morning. I want to speak to you on Gideon's secret. Look with me in Judges 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, in caves, and strongholds. So they're hiding from the enemy in caves. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. Now, this is a sad passage indeed, because the Israelites had God on their side. But they were so weak spiritually that they couldn't come out of the caves and dens and holes of the earth to fight against the enemy. The enemy was winning the battle against them. And these are the people of God, keep in mind. Verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel. Neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Now here we find out that the Midianites and their evil clan were coming and burning the fields of crops so that the Israelites had no sustenance. They were starving them out, okay? And therefore they had famine only because the enemy was stealing their crops and their cattle and sheep. For they came up with their cattle in their tents, the enemies, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. There were a bunch of them. For both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Oh, I love verse 6. Because verse 6 is the turning point of this dilemma. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And sometimes, you know, the Lord will put us in a situation where we've got to get on our knees and cry out to God. And this is what's happened here to the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drained them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, it's a theophany here, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord, capital L, be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Oh, just play the violin right now. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, capital L, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Glory to God. I want to call your attention to verse 16. Upon Gideon's secret, we find it in verse 16. The Lord said, Surely I will be with thee, Gideon. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Gideon's secret. How we thank you this morning, Lord, that he was indestructible. How we thank you this morning, Lord, that you made him a mighty man of valor. How we thank you this morning, Lord, that the picture here is so clear. Gideon could do nothing apart from you, Lord, being with him. And I thank you, dear Lord, for the spiritual application for us today. It is no different at all. Without you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. But, Lord, I'm glad that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Bless your word today, Lord, and help us, Holy Spirit, to learn from the life of Gideon, that we might be mighty men and women of valor in your service, Lord, and bringing glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love that in verse 16, where the Lord tells Gideon that surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt deliver the Midianites. Now, Gideon at this time was a nobody. He was not a warrior. He was not a military leader. He was simply an unknown wheat harvester. And yet we find his name in the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Baruch and of Jephthah and the others, the great men of faith. He was a mighty man of God because God made him so. So evidently something occurred in Gideon's life that dramatically transformed him into one of the heroes of the faith. I want us to focus in today on Gideon's secret. And quickly, I'll give you a few things from our text. First, note what made Gideon such a mighty man of God. First, notice his sorrowful failure. Verse 11. In verse 11, we see his sorrowful failure, which we all experience. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, that's Gideon's father, the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, in verse number 11, I find the man Gideon in a state of total defeat. He's in failure. He's hiding from the Midianites. What a picture we have here of a life being lived in continual failure. Two things I see concerning this defeated life that Gideon was now enduring. First, that he was in a state of bondage. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, And Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press. Threshing wheat. Every day, here's Gideon out there threshing the wheat. Threshing the wheat. Sweating in the sun. Working like crazy. Sounds like they did down in Egypt, making bricks with nothing but dust, you know. And he's in bondage here. He's in bondage because they're attacked by the enemy, and he's got no way out, and he's threshing the wheat. This is Satan's favorite pastime. Getting man to live in bondage to various vices. The alcoholic has to have that next drink. The drug addict must get that next fix. The sexual deviant must find another victim to traumatize. It's in a state of bondage that Gideon is in. Something else about his sorrowful failure, though. Notice that he was living under continual attack from the enemy. Look in verse number 11 at the end. It says, And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The implication here is clear. Gideon and his family and the house of Israel were under attack from the enemy. Now, we all know that the devil is our enemy. But let me say something. If you find a demon under every bush and the devil's, oh, woe is me, devil's always after me, what am I going to do? You're not living a spirit-filled life. Listen, yes, we have enemies, but we have victory over our enemies. The Lord told Gideon, I am with you. Don't you fear those Midianites. And just like Gideon, we need to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ and do battle against the enemy. You know, Johnny Cash was a great country and western singer. Cash claimed to be a born-again Christian. Maybe he was. I hope we see him in heaven. I really do. But Johnny Cash died, and I remember his daughter. I think her name was Ruth. I'm not sure, but his daughter, anyway, was on Larry King. This is years ago. And I remember watching the interview out of curiosity to what she would say about her dad, because he claimed to be a Christian. And she said, 2 days before my dad died, I went to see him in his mansion. And she said, I sat in his bedroom talking to him as a daughter, just loving him and saying our final goodbyes. And she said, my dad, Johnny Cash, looked at me and he said, you see all these awards on the walls and all these trophies and all these great things that I've received throughout my life? And she said, Johnny Cash said to her, this is a room full of regret. This is a room full of regret. That's why I believe Johnny Cash is in heaven. Because Johnny Cash looked at all of the accolades and all of the awards and all of the acclaim that the world had given him, and it broke his heart. Because he realized, and he said to his daughter, I've wasted my life singing country and western when I could have sang for Jesus. And he died 2 days later. You know what that was? That was a picture of sorrowful failure. Sorrowful failure. But something else concerning Gideon in his secret. Observe the comforting message that he receives. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, right about now, Gideon's going, oh, wait a minute now. Are you talking to me, Lord? Mighty man of valor? I'm in bondage to the Midianites. I'm fresh and weak, and you're calling me a mighty man of valor? There's got to be a case of mistaken identity. Listen carefully. This holy divine messenger is the messenger of the covenant, by the way, and he is preaching unto Gideon a very comforting message. The Lord is with thee. I love it. Verse 12. The Lord is with thee. Now, did Gideon do anything at all to earn the Lord's presence with him? No, of course not. This is purely a picture of the grace of God in verse 12. The Lord simply came to him and said, I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to deliver you and your household from the Midianites. Glory to God. All for the grace of God. Listen now, beloved. This angel brought to Gideon exactly what the Holy Spirit brings to us, a comforting message. Amen? You know what? Every day, you and I need comforting messages from our Lord. And the Holy Spirit within quickens those messages to us. Every time we open this book, we get comforting messages. Amen? Every time we get on our knees and pray, we get comforting messages. Every time we go to church, we get comforting messages. Why? The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. I see a very comforting message that God is with us literally, actually, and eternally. I like that. Now, when Mary Magdalene came to the disciples after the Lord had risen from the dead, she said, I've got good news, boys. He is not dead. He's alive. I found his linen cloth in the cave, and it was empty. Jesus is alive, as he said. That was a very comforting message the disciples received from Mary Magdalene. Glory to God. He had a sorrowful failure. He had a comforting message. But thirdly, see his wrongful focus upon his circumstances. Look at verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, capital L, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon had a wrongful focus. He's looking at his circumstances. He's looking at his wheat. He's looking at the Midianites coming down the road to attack. And he's getting all upset. And look at verse 13. He says, you've forsaken us, Lord. You're no longer with us. What are we going to do? First of all, sin was the true reason why the Israelites were now in these terrible circumstances. It wasn't because God just forsook them. Look at verse 1. And children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. Now, the Lord, in mercy, sent an enemy to Israel to wake them up and to cause them to look up where their help lies. Amen? Now, verse 10 reveals something more. Look at verse 10. And I said unto you, it's the Lord talking. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. The message is very clear here. So hold your place in Judges and go back to, for a minute, Exodus. Get Exodus chapter 15. The Lord only wanted one thing from the children of Israel. One thing only. Look in Exodus chapter 15. And remember, this is before there was any Mosaic law. Okay? This is pre-law, pre-Sinai. And look what the Lord says, that the day that he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Watch what the Lord says to them. Look with me in verse 26. And he said, this is God speaking to Moses and the children of Israel. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, not the commandments of Moses, they didn't yet exist, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this is very important. This is critical. Because the Lord is asking them to simply walk with him and be obedient to his will. Go to Jeremiah. Hold your place in Judges again. Jeremiah, we'll see it one more time before we move on. And look in Jeremiah chapter 7. Only one thing the Lord sought when he brought them out of Egypt. Obedience, that's it. Jeremiah 7, look at verse 23. 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. He's pointing back to Exodus 15, 26. And he's going to remind them of what he asked them to do. He said, I didn't ask for sacrifices. This is Jeremiah 7, 22. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. God wanted to lead them by his Spirit. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me. So Gideon here, with his wrongful focus, is blaming God for their bondage. And God says, no, it's because of your disobedience. Now, Gideon was a God-fearing man. He's not picking Gideon out of the crowd here. He was a godly man. But he's saying the whole of Israel has fallen into idolatry. They've not obeyed my voice. Now, Gideon's problem here is that he was wrongfully focusing upon his present circumstances and misery, instead of focusing upon the comforting message of verse 12. Remember that? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's where his mind needed to be. But how many of us today, myself included, make this same mistake? Oh, Lord, I have this problem. What am I going to do, Lord? And we get our focus off of Jesus, and as soon as we do, we're in trouble. And we all do it. We all make this mistake. What would you think of Michael Jordan? The greatest basketball player of all time, they say he is. He commits a foul in the game. He scored 45 points, but he commits a foul in the game. Technical, right? And he goes over and he sits on the bench and starts crying like a little bit. Oh, I'm just a lowly fouler. I'm a no good fouler. No, you're not. You're the greatest basketball player that's ever played. Get up and get back in the game. And that's what we do. We focus on the circumstance instead of the deliverer of our circumstances. Glory to God. He had a wrongful focus. But something else. Notice his new direction. God gave him a new direction. In verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him, I like that, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, in verse 14, notice here, the first part of this verse, and the Lord looked upon him. I like that. The Lord looked upon him. The Lord just, he's like, I think sometimes the Lord just, you know, we're sitting and we're pouting and this is me too. And we're just, you know, miserable in our circumstance. And the Lord just looks at us and, okay, how long are you going to sit there? Let's see now, it's 2012. You're gonna get up and get busy or what? The Lord just looked upon him. The Lord looked on him. But Gideon now has a new purpose, new direction, new meaning in his life. This is exactly what the new believer experiences. God gives us, our lives, new direction and purpose when we get saved. I'll never forget the day I got saved. My life changed forever. And I knew it. And so did you. Why? Because you get a new focus, you get a new direction in your life. We falter and we forget sometimes because we're forgetful creatures, but the Lord always brings us back to that proper focus on Him. Amen? Spurgeon once said, "O doubting soul, herein lies the secret of thy might. Lo, I am with you alway, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto me." Spurgeon was right. Glory to God. He had a new direction, a new purpose that God gave him for something else. See his fleshly resistance. Oh, we can all identify with this. Verse 15. Fleshly resistance. He said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. No way, Lord, I can't do it." Notice first, he says, wherewith. That is, by what means could I possibly save Israel? Secondly, he says, my family's too poor. We can't afford it. Thirdly, besides this, I am the least or most unable in all my family. There's no way, Lord, won't work. Find somebody else. Now, remember Moses. Lord, I can't speak. Oh, I give you Brother Aaron to speak for you. Lord, they won't listen to me. Oh, yeah, they will. I'm going to take care of Pharaoh. Every excuse in the book. I gave every excuse in the book to the Lord when he was calling me to preach. I said, Lord, there is no way. And he said, yes, there is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Beloved, mark it down. When God chooses to do a work through your life, the flesh is going to rebel and resist and cry foul. Listen, your flesh does not want to serve God. Your flesh does not want to pray. Your flesh does not want to read the Bible. Your flesh does not want to come to church. I know, because I have it too. It's a fleshly resistance that we all experience. When God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, you know what he did? He hopped on the first ship he could find going to Joppa. Oh, that was bright. Let me just get on to Joppa. Maybe the Lord won't know. Oh, fleshly resistance. That's what it is. And we all experience it. Fleshly resistance. This is what happened here to Gideon. I can't do it, Lord. But observe the assuring promise in verse 16. I see an assuring promise. And the Lord said unto him, Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He says they're going to go down like Joe Frazier when Muhammad Ali hit the knockout punch on Joe Frazier. One man. You're going to defeat them. Why? Because I will be with thee. Now, listen, brethren. The Lord does not rebuke Gideon for his fleshly resistance. Instead, he makes him an incredible promise to go with him and help him. Wow! I love that. Because when we rebel, when our flesh rebels and we don't want to do right, the Lord is still with us and he gives us an assured promise. Lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Greater is he that is with us than all those that can possibly be against us, church. And here in verse 16, we discover Gideon's secret. Here it is. The secret to his great success. Look at verse 16. Surely, the Lord said, I will be with thee, and thou shalt. Thou shalt. Whatever God's calling you to do, thou shalt, because the Lord is with you. It's a promise from a God who cannot lie. Listen, Gideon, with his 300, Gideon's army, had to go against an entire army of warriors, 135,000 Midianites. That's a lot of warriors. And you know what? I did the math. It comes out to 450-1. And they wiped them out, man. They wiped them out because one plus God is a majority. Amen? I don't care how many enemies come against you, God is with you, and God will not let you fail, Gideon. Little girl was walking home with her dad, and they had to walk to a cemetery late at night to get to the house. It's the only way to get home. Little six-year-old girl, she says,
Daddy, showed him his father's hand. Daddy, are you afraid? And Dad said,
no, honey, I'm not afraid, and I promise I won't let anything happen to you.
And the little girl said,
thanks, Daddy, I'm not afraid either.
You know what that is? That's just like our heavenly Dad. When we're afraid, he's not afraid. And he says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you, and I won't let anything hurt you. And then we can say, I'm not afraid either, Dad. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the assuring promise that Gideon received. But I see something else quickly. Notice the unmistakable confirmation. I see a confirmation. Verse 17, and he, Gideon, said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. I just love this part here. Gideon's going to fix the Lord a meal. And the Lord says, you know, the Lord's very busy. But he says, oh, no, I'll tarry. I'll wait for you. Go ahead, fix it all up real nice like, and we'll eat together. We'll have us a nice meal. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. He put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him, the Lord, under the oak, and presented it. Oh, I like that. I like that. You know what that's a picture of right there? We need to bring gifts to the Lord. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about our heart. I'm talking about spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. We need to come before him and say, Lord, I made this specially for you. I want you to have it. And the Lord tarries. Verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Oh, when the Lord touches our sacrifices, something good happens. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh. Oh, I like that. We could camp there for a while. It consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, theophany, Christophany, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Oh. Gideon receives an unmistakable confirmation here of what God told him to do. Now, notice in verse 21, the holy fire came down, representing the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to use his Holy Spirit fire in our lives to look at it and consume the flesh. I like that. Beloved, our confirmation in salvation is that the Spirit of Christ within us beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Good morning, sister.
Family.
Praise the Lord. Hey, yeah, we don't mind. Listen, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Judges chapter 6, that we are the children of God. He received an unmistakable confirmation. Remember Gideon put the fleece out one night and he said, Lord, if you'll surely deliver the Midianites by my hand, make the dew appear on the fleece but not on the ground. So he gets up in the morning, the dew is on the fleece and not on the ground. He says, oh, that's great. Then he says, but Lord, this night I want you to make the dew be on all the ground but no dew on the fleece. So he gets up in the morning, there's no dew on the fleece and dew all over the ground. You know what he was doing? He's making sure that the Lord is with him. And I'm so glad, beloved, today that we don't have to put out a fleece. Why? Because we have unmistakable confirmation from the Holy Spirit that the Lord is with us. Amen? Gideon needed a sign. We don't need a sign. I'm so glad that we live by faith, not by sight. Now, there's one last thing I want you to see here in Judges chapter 6 concerning Gideon's secret. Notice his adoring act. In verse 24, after all this, now he's sure. Now he knows the Lord is going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. He's making an adoring act. He's saying, Lord, I want this place to be our special place. I'm going to bow down before you here. I'm going to meet with you here. I'm going to let my petitions be made known to you here at this altar. I'm so glad this morning, beloved, that each one of us have our own personal altar with the Lord.
Amen.
We have a prayer closet. We have a special place. If you don't have a special place where you get away from the kids and the spouse and the humdrum and the jog and all that, where you get along with God, you need one. You need one. You need a place for adoration. Now, I'm not talking about church. It's easy to worship the Lord here and raise your hands and glorify God. I'm talking about you and Him, one-on-one, on your own. His adoring act. Listen, Gideon didn't have his father in verse 24. Look at it. Go with me to verse 11. And it says, this field pertained unto Joash, the Abizarite, the father of Gideon. Joash wasn't with him. His mama wasn't with him. It was just him and the Lord. It's an adoring act that Gideon made before the Lord. And you know what? The Lord was well pleased with it. Because look at verse 24. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, Gideon, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. I love it! In verse 23, Gideon receives the ultimate promise from God. Three things he promises him. First, that he'll have peace in his life. You know what we need? We need peace because we're living in a world that has no peace. We're living in a world of chaos, violence, wickedness on every side. But we have the peace of God that passeth understanding, keeping our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Something else he promised him. Fear not. Fear not. I like that one. Because the enemy is powerful. You know that the devil is the second most powerful angel. And we need the Lord. And we don't have to fear. I am so glad of that. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by His Holy Spirit. Thirdly, thou shalt not die. Oh, Lord, I'm going to die. No, you're not. No, you're not. God's not through with you yet, Gideon. God's got plans for your life. You're not going to die. You're not only going to serve me, but you're going to prosper and you're going to be victorious over the enemy. You know what, Gideon? What is 300? 135,000 warriors, Midianite army. That's 450 to 1, if you do the math. And they wiped them out in one night. Wiped them out. Why? Because the Lord, look at verse 16. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. It wasn't 450 to 1. Gideon and his 300 had the Lord. One plus God is the majority in any fight. I am so thankful this morning that the Lord is with us. We need not fear. His peace is upon us. We'll not die, but we'll live and serve Him till He comes. Glory to God. In closing, I discovered a great secret in 1986. On October 3rd of 1986, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. The lights went on. I finally understood that it's all real. Like Ellie kept telling me, it's all real. And I knew that I'd never be the same. And I knew that the secret of the Lord was with me. That I had Jesus as my Savior and I didn't have to fear. And it was 1 year later that my wife and I went forward to the altar in that Baptist church in Peabody and gave our lives. And we said, Lord, whatever you'd have us to do, we're surrendering all. And it wasn't long after that, a few months, we headed off to Bible college. We went to the mission field, pastored churches, and the Lord has used us. Why? Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us and the Lord is with you. Glory to God. Now, what about you? Have you discovered Gideon's secret in your life? It's very simple. The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. And He will not fail you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for Gideon's secret. Because, Lord, it is the very same secret that we have. The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. We are so thankful today, Lord, that you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do. Thank you today, Lord, that we don't face Midianites, but we do face enemies. And thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter how many there are, how much they outnumber us, because the Lord, Jesus Christ, is with us. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, that you said in Romans chapter 8,
that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, thank you, Lord, that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We love you today and we thank you for this life, this Christian life. Lord, there's nothing like it. Lord, I thank you that there's nothing out there in that world for any of us. We have found the secret of life. It's Jesus. It's a person. It's the living God. We love you today and we thank you. We thank you for this incredible passage concerning Gideon and Gideon's secret. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Tonight at 6:30, if you're able, I know Karen just came from work. David not feeling well?
David said he was going to try to come tonight. I thought he was going to call you, Bill.
Praise the Lord.
So he thought it was at 7 tonight. Oh,
tonight?
Right?
Sunday night, 6:30, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll tell him.
Yeah. Oh, great. How was work?
Hectic.
Work.
And I was rushing the nurse that always pokes and takes her time. I was like, come on, I want to go to church. And she's out there talking. And I said, I can't leave her alone in the building, so I have to stay. The nurse always takes off first.
Oh, yeah. So, glory to God.
How long of a shift do you have to work in? Is it like 8 hours?
No, we start at 5:45 on Saturday and Sunday, and we're supposed to get off at 10:45. And I didn't get out till 11, so.
Yeah.
So it's 5 hours on the weekend.
Oh.